I went early there. I went early, caught everybody by surprise. How are you? That wasn't the plan. It's not even 10 o'clock. I just realised I hadn't sorted something out. But here we are. Ladies and gentlemen, here we are. I know you can see me. Yes. I went early. And I can't start the timer again. So I just thought I'd go with it. Just got to go with it, haven't you, sometimes? Yeah? You can't see me. You can't see me. Yoko-sou. Arigato gozaimasu. Welcome, one and all to the Stadia Monday Night Chat, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Episode 120. 120, ladies and gentlemen, on this fine August day, 1st of August. Hey, happy Stadia Pro Day, people. Yeah, it's Stadia Pro Day. Oh, yeah, we love a bit of Stadia Pro Day. Of course, let me know in the chat and all of that whether you've had a chance to play any of the Stadia Pro games for August. Let me know your thoughts and all of that. But as we say, let's get this show. We were a bit premature there. That's what she said. Let's get the show on the road, shall we? Yeah. So welcome. Of course, as I said, to the Stadia Monday Night Chat, episode 120. I am your host. Yes, I am your host, Clive Illenden. You are most welcome. Remember to hit the likes, because I like them. YouTube likes them. And of course, it helps people like you, intelligent, bright people like you, find wonderful Stadia content like this. And we've got to get the word out here because, of, as many of you know, you lot know, you're getting gems. Yeah, I'm dropping gems in here. You're getting facts. You're getting insight. But not enough people are getting it, as we've seen. Yeah, there's a lot of ignorance out there. You have a duty to inform, educate. And hey, why not entertain on the way? So take what I say. Get people here. Let's everybody come and join the party. You are like disciples. You need to go out there. Yeah? Help spread the word and educate people, yeah? That's what we need to do. Because we know on this show, we've said a lot of things. And a lot of things have come to pass. And when you put that up against a lot of other stuff that's out there and do, I don't know, an accuracy count, yeah, a prediction count, I think you'll find that we're pretty hot on all of that. Anyway, as I said, we're going to have all the Stadia news. We've got some game rumours. It's quite a juicy one, really, that no one else I've seen's picked up on. And for me, personally, it's quite a juicy one. I mean, it's big. It's a big game. But I guess it's too exciting or too positive of a rumour to write about, which is weird. I wonder why that is. We may even have a little TED talk about lies, rumours and negativity. Because, again, it's just useful to kind of understand these sort of things. Anyway, as I say, in the chat, you are the chat. I need you. I'm very tired today. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. But I need your energy. Yeah, I need your energy. Feed me your energy. I need your energy to be up. Yeah, I need to be. Oh, come on. We're going to knock it out of the park tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And I need your help because you are the chat in the Stadia Monday Night Chat, people. So get in the chat and all of that. In fact, why don't we just dive headfirst into the mosh pit? Yeah. And see the people who rushed, as soon as those doors opened, rushed to the front of the stage 30 minutes early. Yeah, so they could be there when the talent comes on. Yeah. It'll be on in a minute. Anyway, let's see who's in the front row and all of that. Yo, bud. Lovely to see you, sir. Hey, yeah, indeed, Mr. Bayram plays. Happy Pro Day. Whoop, whoop. Indeed. It's great, isn't it? I mean, in my old age, time flies by. But it's nice to, you know, to know that every few weeks, kaboom, Another load of games to have a look at. You don't have to like them all. There's always one or two at least. And it doesn't cost anything to have a little delve around, a little smooch, a little look around in those games. And yeah. Primo Yonick. Yeah, I think we had a few hooligans in earlier spilling the beer. That's what put me off. Inled. Inled will be appearing indirectly in the show a little bit later. A little sneak preview there, Inled. Yeah. Hey, Primo. Lovely to see you. Yes, I know. I know. I hit the wrong button. Silly me. Liam. How are you, sir? Jay Lee. Williams. Clive is alive, giving everyone a high five. You know it, sir. MM2K. As ever, Scooterama, bringing a bit of the old Germans. Don't talk about the football. And all of that. Geek the Sneak, how are you? Hey, the cowboy is in the building, yeah. Yeah, cowboy likes, he likes to ride a pony. He's a cowboy that rides a pony, is that right? Joking, joking. Ah, Yoshida, Aragata Gozaima, Sagoi, and all of that. Lovely to see you, Yokoso. Crow Razine, super. Ha, ELC no more, Phenomete. Hello, sir. Marcus G, what a celebrity. Oh, tell me about it, yeah? I'm trying to find that energy, Jinx. Trying to find that energy, yeah? That's what it is. Evening. Oh, that's Mr. Bayron playing, saying evening to everyone. But anyway, let me know. Christopher's listening, even though he knows the show will be available on your favourite podcast platform tomorrow. But he loves to listen live because it's the best way. It's when you can always hear the crackle of electricity and all of that. Don't forget, I mean, don't just say hello. Tell me what games you've been playing and all of that. So I completed, as I'm not a completionist, well, I say completed, what I mean is I finished the narrative. I didn't go back and do all the, completed it, mate. Do all the bits. But what I'm saying is I did Valiant Hearts. It drew me in. It kept my attention. It plucked at my heartstrings. Had me tearing up. Had me tearing up. I was tearing up at the end. Oh. No, what a wonderful, wonderful game. Beautifully illustrated. Challenging in places. Educational. Informed education. You know, all of that, as I've mentioned before, I think. Obviously, you know, I like history. Know a lot about First World War. You learn it at school in Britain. But it's mostly from, obviously, British perspective. So what I found quite interesting about Valiant Hearts was just kind of understanding a little bit more about the French side of things. So I knew bits and bobs, but it was just like there's loads of stuff I didn't know. And I was like, ooh, I was discovering stuff, reading stuff. So it's just the power of interactive games, ladies and gentlemen. Not only, you know, can they tell a story. That it's art. You know, it's this, they used to call film, as I may have mentioned, I studied film at university. It used to be called the seventh art. Yeah, it was known as the seventh art in the latter part of the 20th century. You know, film was never considered art, but, you know, in the 60s, the French auteurs wrote about it and stuff like that. And then after that, people went to UCL and read all about the French auteurs and the history of film and all that. And then it became, so people understood actually, it was, you know, it's not throwaway, it's an art. And it became known as the seventh art. So does that make potentially games the eighth art? I don't know. Anyway, things like Valiant Heart can sort of show you that there is art in games. And I don't just mean by art style. I mean, saying something culturally or significantly in you know, interesting characters, telling interesting stories, relaying interesting information. Or on the other hand, it could just be bang, bang, whoop, whoop. you're dead, you know. But that's the beauty. That's the diversity you get with gaming. And Valiant Hearts, highly recommend it. Yeah, went through it. Interesting characters, beautiful art style. Puzzle game, you know, classic at its heart. It's just it's a puzzle game, but uses that mechanic to tell an interesting and beautiful story. Can't say enough about it. Loved it. And today I chased some cats. And petted a crow. Not crow as in. But yeah, a bit of Calico. Obviously one of the games of Stadia Pro and all of that. Oh, Sednos says playing a bit of PUBG. I did play a bit of PUBG, actually, over the weekend. As I was doing a review, you may or may not have seen it. My HyperX Cloud Mix Buds. I did a review on the video and I wanted some footage of me playing PUBG and trying them out with PUBG. So yes, a bit of PUBG I partook in as well. I know it's their control. It's a game I really want to play. It's like films. I really want to see that film. And then when it comes round to it, I never get round to seeing it. And it's a bit like that for me with Control. Anyway. Hey! Rudigs from Chat Stadia. Welcome. Welcome. Lovely to see you. Everybody make sure that they are subscribed to Chat Stadia. Always good to see you, sir. Christopher went back to Division 2. One of the best games. Neglected. I neglect it. Wavetail. Of course, it was a free play weekend of Wavetail. Forgotten City will be up in the news, of course. Yeah, Crow was petted. Who knew? Yeah, Cowboy just likes to pet his pony. So you can't make a big crow in Calico and ride it. Easy, steady. Oh dear, it's kicking off already, isn't it there? Now your mama knows. As I say, always interesting what you guys and girls are playing. Always interested in that. Keep it going in the chat. All of that. I think it's time for some news. There'll be news, rumours and the like and all of that. So let me just check with Clive in the studio. And also check the right button. Clive, are you ready in the studio? Yeah, you are. Clive's ready in the studio. We're going to go for the Stadia Monday Night Chat news, sir. Let's go. Thanks, Clive. Welcome to the Stadia Monday Night Chat news for the 1st of August, 2022. Today, of course, being the 1st of August, sees a slate of 6 new games arriving on Stadia Pro, including a brand new game to the platform. To give Stadia Pro members a flavour of the upcoming release of Saints Row this month, we get Saints Row the Third Remastered, which is joining Stadia Pro. This, of course, is joining the previous Saints Row 4 Re-Elected, which was a previous Stadia Pro title. Joining this game in the Stadia Pro library this month, we also see Big Truck Racer Monster Jam Steel Titans 2, platform classic Shantae Half Genie Hero Ultimate Edition, puzzle game Murder by Numbers, and the quirky strange Welcome to Elk. And joining Stadia Pro is a brand new title to the platform, Calico, the cat cafe open world game for cat lovers and all things cute and quirky. So that's 6 titles added to Stadia Pro this month, continuing the strong release pattern on Stadia Pro that we've seen over the last few months. Last week also saw the release of The Forgotten City, a game I'm not sure any of us were particularly aware was coming to Stadia, where you travel 2,000 years into the past to relive the final days of Roman City, where if one person sins, everyone dies. The Stadia blog goes on to say, "Combat is an option, but violence will only get you so far. Only by questioning an intertwined community of colourful characters, cleverly exploiting the time loop, and making difficult moral choices can you hope to solve this epic mystery." By all accounts, this 2021 BAFTA Games Award for EE Game of the Year nominee has had significant critical success, with a 10 out of 10 on Steam a 9 out of 10 on IGN, and a 4.35 out of 5 on GOG.com. So, it's great to see a title like this coming to Stadia. This title is from Dear Villages and is an adaptation of an Elder Scrolls V Skyrim mod. As predicted on this very show, this brings the number of new games to Stadia in July to 10 games. But Stadia weren't done there. Oh, no, 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 no. How about 11 games in July? Why, thank you, Stadia. Yes, there was a stealth drop at the end of last week of Neighbours Back From Hell from Friends of Stadia Handy Games, a game that celebrates Schadenfreude, i.e. laughing at other people's misfortune. A whole TV show based on playing increasingly outrageous pranks on your grumpy neighbour to keep the audience entertained and viewership numbers high. It's good to be bad in this early 2000s trash TV-inspired slapstick extravaganza. Atari announced that Yars Recharge is coming on August 23rd, so competing with Saints Row there. Like Centipede Recharge, this is a reimagined version of an Atari 2600 classic, Yars Revenge, from way back in 1982. Dodge projectiles and nibble away the enemy shields to power up the mighty Zorlon cannon. Take down the Quotal space stations in this frantic bullet swarm shooter. Level the playing field by teaming up with a friend in two-player co-op mode. The free trials keep growing, with over 120 free trials now available on Stadia. Yeah, I said that right. Over 120 free trials. As a further 17 new trials were added. And there's no account needed. You just click the link and you play. As ever, this is great to see, with additions like Farming Simulator offering up to 3 hours of gameplay for free, JRPG Legend of Heroes Trials of Gold Steel 4, and many, many more. At this rate, I can envision a time when virtually every game on Stadia will have some sort of free trial, which of course would be awesome. The power of free trials for those who are, let's say, Stadia curious, cannot be underestimated. Game rumours now. We all love a rumour. Dear Villagers, the developer behind the previously mentioned The Forgotten City, is also behind the strangely titled The Dungeon of Nahulbuk. Nahulbuk, the Amulet of Chaos. A few beady-eyed observers, including Clive, thank you everybody, especially those late to the party, spotted the reference to this game on the Stadia blog when it was first published last week. It was on the front page picture when they first posted it, and was later hastily removed. So, is this slight faux pas by Stadia an indication we could see this game coming to Stadia soon? And are there other games from Dear Villagers that might make the platform? Watch this space, of course. More rumours now, because we do love a good rumour. Beyond Good and Evil 2, a sequel to the amazing Beyond Good and Evil, a game I loved back in the day, is still in production. Now, this is an Ubisoft game and was teased way back at E3 in 2018. And then it seemed to go into some sort of development hell. And nothing was heard from that after that. I think the last bit of news came in about 2020. So it seemed like it was a case of another game that might have been, which is a bit like Skull and Bones, to be honest, that also seemed to get lost in development hell before reappearing on the horizon to now coming into full sight later this year. Anyway, the last news that we had on Beyond Good and Evil 2 was back in 2020, as I said. But according to Tom Henderson, freelance writer, 190k followers on his Twitter with a history of game news, so not some random bloke on Facebook with a made-up name, claims that the game has started playtesting. Yes, it's very much alive, he goes on to say. A bit like Stadia then. Now, in the recent Ubisoft earnings announcement, Reed reported on this show that they mentioned that along with the delay of Avatar until next year, they had also pushed back release of another as yet unnamed AAA game. Could this be it? As this is an Ubisoft title, could Stadia see Beyond Good and Evil 2 next year? I for one hope so, as the original is a personal favourite of mine. And a rumour that we featured on a previous show a week or so ago, again, in there early with these stories, seems to be gaining more momentum. Yes, gamer fans, Bratz Flaunt Your Fashion has now been certified on ESRB. This is from Outright Games, so no surprise if we see this on Stadia soon. And I think we're done with the rumours there for this week. I don't think there are any other rumours. I'm not sure. Any other rumours? Anyway, this is a new show, so we only deal with rumours with substance. Maybe Clive knows. Anyway, I don't know. That's your news for the week. So it's back to Clive in the studio. Clive, back to you. Thanks, Clive. Well, there you go. What do you think about that? As I say, the Stadia Pro games there. Let me know if you've ventured into that world of the Stadia Pro games for August. Have you tried in the new games that dropped last week? I said on this very show, what did I say at the top of the show? I said we get things right, didn't we? I said, could we see at least 10 games? Yeah, could we see 10 games by the end of July, in July? Could we see that drop? And we did. In fact, we saw 11. Yeah. We squeezed one in there at the end of last week to make it 11 games in July. So keep it up, Stadia. You're going to have to if you want to hit 100. But that's good. It's interesting that of the Stadia Pro games, that there's only one new game. I think what was useful in July is that there was a whole handful of brand new titles to the platform in Stadia Pro. That's not to say I don't think they could deliver another 8 or 10 games this month. We know some games that are coming. You know, we know that Yars is coming. We know that Saints Row is coming, and a few other titles as well. So yeah, maybe 8 titles. Could we see 8 titles? But that, you know, we've also seen a potentially leaked game could come this month. Got some Outright games, Bratz could come. So there's some titles there that could well come along. So could we see around eight or 10 games again in August? Who knows? Equally, it's also a quiet time. So, you know, it's holiday time, isn't it? But there we go. Let's hope so. And all of that. And as I say, let us know in the chat which of those Stadia Pro games have you had a chance to play for? Are any of interest to you? Are you curious about? And all of that. Before we crack on with some other interesting stuff, some breaking news from a little bit earlier. Should I check my private messages? Nope. Breaking news from a little bit earlier. Wrong button there. Got distracted. From Carson Kelly, who he loves announcing games, doesn't he? Carson Kelly just announced Carson Kelly Production presents a Carson Kelly game. He loves it like he's making a big Hollywood movie here.
Carson Kelly Productions presents a Carson Kelly game. Talking Dogs, Jack's Story. Talking Dogs 2.
That's what it is. It's a sequel to Talking Dogs, which isn't even out. Talking Dogs is not meant out. Come out until 2023. Anyway, basically, he's announced. Is there a link there? Let's go to his site. He's announced a sequel already. Let's go to the. He's down for look. Carson, look, it's down for maintenance. I'm giving you a free promotion, Carson. Come on. Anyway, the point is, he's announced a sequel to Talking Dogs, imaginatively named Talking Dogs 2, which is due for 2026. Stadia game in 2026, ladies and gentlemen. 2026. Anyway. We haven't seen much of Talking Dogs. Seen a few clips and stuff. There's a few pictures. A few footage. I don't know. It always looks like some sort of weird. I don't know what it is. where the dog is. Anyway, Talking Dogs 2, ladies and gentlemen, has been announced there by Carson Kelly Games, a Carson Kelly production. It's like there used to be a joke on Little Britain in the UK TV and about a sort of famous actor from the 70s and 80s who used to always seem to sing the theme tune. And Little Britain used to do a gag where they go, right, the theme tune. Sing the theme tune. Is that a bit like Carson Kelly there? Right, the game. Sing the game. Only joking, Carson. Looking forward to the Talking Dogs games. Great to see, though, people are sort of planning for stuff in 2026. So there we go. All good stuff. So I just wanted to share that breaking news. And as I say, you know, we're talking about the number of Stadia Pro games, the number of games, 11 games in July dropped and all of that. So, of course, it's over to our data people, Jack and Inled, to have a look at some data. So, first of all, if we go with the wonderful Jack DeSlip, shout out to Jack DeSlip, for I am standing upon your shoulders when it comes to data. On Monday, as of today, ladies and gentlemen, the Stadia library will have 286 games.
Think, you know what's wrong with Stadia? They've got no games. They've got no games. They're closing down within 6 months. My brain!
On today, 286 games. 164 of which, quick maths, more than half been Stadia Pro, 52 of which a new Stadia Pro subscriber can claim, and we'll come to the status of the Stadia Pro, and I have a theory about it. I am adjusting my predictions for the end of the year slightly. I'm not, you know, I'm just trying to analyze these things is a constant. You're constantly adding data into the machine, yeah, into the machine, my brain, to adjust things. And I have a theory about it. So we'll come to that when we look at Inled. But there you go. Not bad. 286 games. I mean, literally by the end of September, we will probably have 300 games by the end of September, which is not bad. Not bad at all, really. I mean, you know, remember the heady days when about 23 games when it launched?
Oh, them were the days. Oh.
There's so many games just like untouched, collecting virtual dust because they've got so many games. Who knew? Anyway, so that's always interesting to see. And there's the graph there over time. And you can see here, games claimable in Stadia Pro at a time has steadily grown, but it seems to have leveled out. I think now that they have a finite budget, probably. I'm surmising. They have a finite budget, depending on the amount of, you know, Stadia subscribers and stuff, and especially if they're sharing the pot, the Stadia Pro income pot, with developers who release games in there. They've got a finite budget, so they need to limit potentially the amount of games they can have in Stadia Pro at any one time. And at the moment, it seems that based on the amount of Stadia Pro games coming in and at the same time coming out, it's hovering around that 50, 50, 52, 53, sometimes a little bit higher, but around that 50 mark. So I think that's probably the sort of, given the number of subscribers, the sort of level and size of the library at any one time. That's not to say that library wouldn't get bigger, but I think it's directly proportional to the number of Stadia Pro subscribers. So if Stadia Pro subscribers, say with the expansion to Mexico, if that suddenly increases the pot, as it were, the number of Stadia Pro subscribers increases the pot, conversely could increase the amount of games that could be in that pot, in that library at any one time. That's my theory anyway, based on that, because there does seem to be a leveling out. But here, games that have been claimable in Stadia Pro is pretty consistent, straight line there, which is interesting. They've constantly, obviously, you could see at the end there that little blip upwards from July, and we might see some more blips. But equally, there was about 5 or 6 games that came out in July, so it balances itself off. But as you can see down here, it flattens the curve, flattens it out. But there we go. Let's see slightly more, no disrespect, chat, but slightly more colourful, as ever, my favourite design of stats. Now, this one, actually, interesting. Again, shout out to Inled here. Look at this. I think this is out of date. I thought there was more than 120. I thought there was over 120 free trials. Already out of date. This was, in fairness, this was... it's an ever-moving feast. The amount of free trials. They just keep popping up all the time. But interesting, look, he's plotted out here 119 free trials, 103 hours of free trials, 103 hours. And you don't even have to sign up. I cannot stress enough the importance and the brilliance of the free trials on so many levels. Not only the fact that it's just the link, and so every game that's got a free trial, every Twitter handle, every developer here will tweet out, hey, you could play my game for free with a link. So it's not Stadia tweeting it out. It's not us crazy fanboys, whatever, tweeting it out. Every developer, every publisher who's got a free trial can tweet it out. And remember, it's just the link. People click on that link and boom, you're playing. Yeah, so it spreads the word. Yeah. Not only that, I remember years ago on my Samsung Smart TV, there was like Gamefly. And I never tried it because it's like, oh, you've got to pay for that game. Oh, you've got to pay for that. Oh, yeah. I was curious. As Clive said in the news, it's really good for those people who are Stadia curious. So if you're just, you know, you've brought a brand new LG TV and you see the Stadia app, and you wonder what that is, and you go, oh, look. It's not like, oh, have a free trial of 3 games or 4 games or 5 games or 6 games or 10 games, 20 games, 50 games. No, 120-odd games, 103 hours. Yeah? So, and no commitment. And that's the beauty of it. It's just share a link. Just as Phil Harrison pointed out back in E3, June 2019, it's just a link. It can sit on somebody's store, can be on their Twitter, can be on their social, media page, whatever. So that's amazing. And look, Farming Simulator there sits alone with a three-hour trial. You need it just to get your crops in. I never got on with that game. I didn't know where to take my crops. A lot of two-hour games. And interestingly enough, a lot of the Japanese games here, Legend of Heroes, Trials of Cold Steel 4, Trials of Cold Steel 3, Yis 9, Monstrum Nox, Yis 8, Lacrimosa of Dana, and a good selection of, well, how can you avoid having not having a good, it's over a third of the library. Over a third of the library is free trials. And then the majority of little 30-minute dip-ins here, out there. So as you can see there, the majority of them are either 30 minutes or 44 or 60 minutes there. Really interesting. Really interesting. But really great to see. And what's also great to see, as I say, it's on so many levels. All the levels I've said about now they've got the game landing pages. It's just the link. All these developers are going, hey, our game's free trial. You know, they're tweeting it out to all their followers. So it's not sort of in the Stadia bubble. It's going beyond. It goes beyond the Stadia bubble. people who say Stadia Curious, click the link, they could try it. There's all of that, which is really cool. But secondly, the beauty is Karin Yap, you know, head of Stadia Partnerships, stood there in March of this year and said at the Google for Games Developer Conference, and I can almost hear myself getting frustrated now, given some, you know, the recent activities nonsense last week. Stood there representing Stadia and said, we will be rolling out free trials, starting with Risk of Rain. Yeah. And any publisher, developer who wants to, you know, their game to have a free trial, they just have to tell us and for how long, put the variables in, press a button, boom. Yeah. That was way back in the middle of March. Now we are the 1st of August. There's over 120 free trials. It's the speed at which it's being adopted is impressive and encouraging. There's so many levels. There's levels to this. There's so many different levels of goodness to the free trials. Not just the fact that somebody could try a free trial without having to put their account in. There's so many layers to this. I can't. It's just amazing. Really amazing. And that's, again, it's like, it's that just that crazy short memory that people have. They just forget. When I say people, I mean, I hate that generalist people. A lot of tech journalists, you know, they report on Stadia and they've forgotten about it the following week. And then when something comes along that is unsubstantiated or doesn't conform, you know, there's nothing in their mind going, well, that's odd because they've just announced Mexico. Or that's odd because at GDC, they announced all these free trials, these new payment schemes for developers and publishers. Oh, that's odd. No, they forgot it. They've forgotten it, yeah? As we say in Britain, you know, that we're about the news. It's today's news is yesterday's chip paper, yeah? Because we go down a chip shop. For our non-UK people, used to go down the chip shop and they'd put the chips in the newspaper, wrap it up in newspaper, fish and chips, wrap it up in newspaper, keep it warm, hand it to you. Yeah. So the saying is today's news is tomorrow's, you know, fish and chip paper. And it's true. It's still today. It's like people got short memory. And it's frustrating for me personally. It always has been. Frustrating, always has been very, very frustrating, that kind of approach and attitude. Yeah. Anyway, there you go. Next up, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to talk about, I'm going to build on that slightly. Oh God, here he goes. All of that. Let me just, see what you've been saying in the chat quickly before I rev up. And all of that. I just got to press that button. Right. The other thing is, let me know what you think about Beyond Good and Evil. Here's Rashad Lawson says, my best question is, will Beyond Good and Evil 2 be available in Stadia in the future? Well, I think the only question you need to ask is, will it get released? I'd given up the ghost for this. This was first trailed. I thought when I was preparing the news for Clive, I thought that it was shown at E3 at 2018. It was shown at E3 at 2018. It was also shown at E3 at 2017. If ever there's a game that sort of seems to have been lost in development hell, it's Beyond Good and Evil 2. But, as tweeted out, can I find the tweet again? By Tom Henderson. Yeah? And Tom Henderson is, you know, he's a freelance writer at various sites, okay? But he's no slouch, 189,000 followers. So, he's got to be reasonably consistent. You know, look, we put it in, let's make it relative, because we sit here and we might, you know, effectively slag off lots of tech blog posts, because when we know facts and then we see those facts incorrectly printed or reported about stuff, you know, you do question, well, if they got that wrong, what else have they got wrong that I don't know about? Yeah, information and stuff. But anyway, but the point is, so within that context, yeah, he's pretty up there in terms of reporting. Yeah, I'm not saying, you know, like I say, he's just another tech writer. But he does write a lot about the big games, writes on try hard guides and stuff like that. Yeah. And 190,000 followers and all of that. So pretty legit source. And as I said, he's staying here. Beyond Good and Evil 2 has started playtesting. What questions do you have? Yes, it's very much alive. I'm just seeing if there's any other further correspondence that he may. No, he hasn't. But yeah, very much alive, according to him. So that's encouraging to me. And that, I think that's all you need to know in terms of will it come to Stadia. Because if it's a, if it's an Ubisoft game, it's coming to Stadia. Yeah. It's the exception to the rule, the games that don't. So For Honor, for some strange reason. And there has to be an underlying reason why that's not coming to Stadia, whether it's technical, whether it's contractual or whatever, because every other game from Ubisoft, multi-platform game, is on Stadia. So the question, the only question you need to know, Rashad, really, or answer, we need answering, is Beyond Good and Evil 2 genuinely still in development? According to Tom Henderson, journalist, respected, I'm putting that in context. Yes, it is. So, and as Mr. Byron Plays says as well, exactly. Great minds think alike, and all of that. So, yeah, but let me know whether you're excited about that. Are you a fan of Beyond Good and Evil 2 and all of that? I'd love to know and all of that. I keep saying all of that. That's because I'm doing something in my hand. Ooh, doing something with my left hand that you can't see. That's what she said. So I'm just holding this. Anyway, there we go. Talking Dogs 3 from Bark to Talk to Walk. Yeah. Talking Dogs 3. Let's get on with the first game first. I'm sure it'll be very good. You know, we've got cats and all of that. So why not? Why not dogs, ladies and gentlemen? Why not dogs? We're planning on hitting 100 games in the year. It could mean there's around 10 games a month. Yeah, we're going to have to see a flurry. We do know, and this is not me rolling, making excuses, right? We do know there's been some genuine delays. So we know that Avatar has been delayed. We know some other games have been pushed back. So that's just one publisher. So there is a good chance that that there may be other games, other publishers that are suffering the same fate. So we're clearly going to lose a small handful of games from this year, and they'll just come next year. I think we need to kind of, you know, that is the nature of game development. We've seen it, you know, from the get-go. Doom Eternal was meant to come out in December on Stadia. Didn't come out until April 20. Cyberpunk was meant to come out February, March 20. Didn't come out until September time, whatever, October 2020. So we've seen slippage before. Inevitably, I think we're going to see some today. So, yeah, 100 or thereabouts. You know, if anybody go, if they do 98 and people come out of the woodwork going, they said 100 games. You just feel like, oh, you know what I mean? For me, There or thereabouts is good enough. I'm not holding them to account if they, you know, fall short. If it's 70 games, I'm going, come on, that's, you know, hey, that's a bit disappointing. But I'm confident they'll do it and we'll see a flurry of activity. We saw a flurry in activity of July. We just need a few more Julys, bish, bash, bosh, and you're good. And all of that. Anyway, so, ladies and gentlemen, as I said, we will go through. I just want to give a little TED lecture now about negative news. So I talked about in the news there, Beyond Good and Evil 2. Yeah, no one has picked up on that. He's got 190,000 Twitter followers. Yeah, I've not seen any other stuff about Beyond Good and Evil 2 in any of the tech press. That's a big game that's been in development hell for five, six, 7 years. Yeah, like Cyberpunk had a long development tail. Beyond Good and Evil 2 is a massive game, a much loved game, Beyond Good and Evil, the original one. So that's news, and that's not being tweeted by a guy with 3 followers. It's got 190,000 followers. But maybe it's not good news enough. And that's the thing about negative news. And I have a theory about negative news. So, well, which builds on theories that we already know. There, you know, they say bad news travels fast. It's a cliche, yeah? It's a proverb. It's a cliche, right? But you know what? It's not new. It's not new. It never has been new. I remember a play I studied from the 1580s. Yeah, 1582. I can't remember whenever it was. 1580s, okay, it was a Jacobean tragedy, so sort of round about Shakespeare's time, by Thomas Kidd, studied it at college or whatever, called The Spanish Tragedy. And there's a line in that in which a character says, if he lived, the news would soon be here. Nay, evil news fly faster still than good. Yeah. Basically, what he's saying, you know, in that kind of Shakespearean style, nay, evil news fly faster still than good. Bad news travels faster than good. And that is still holds true today. We are desperate for it because negative news and stuff is the thing of dramas. It is the thing of entertainment, you know, like we watch some dramas and it's about conflict and negativity. And some people say, you know, it goes back to caveman days or whatever, you know, so you know you're being chased by a wolf. You know, we're perceptive to negativity in case we get attacked by a saber-toothed tiger or a woolly mammoth, that kind of thing. Anyway, so we know bad news travels fast and people are eager to jump onto it, right, for whatever reason. But I would say there's a difference between rumors and lies. Lies are very different from rumors. Yeah. A lie tries to subvert a known fact. It is aimed at undermining the truth. A famous example, of course, is, you know, the earth is flat. Mountains of evidence exist showing the earth is round, yet some people persist in believing that the earth is flat because they want to believe it. Yeah. Despite all the evidence to the contrary. Yeah. They want to believe it in their eagerness to believe it. They lower their threshold of checking the validity of these things. So, I'm referring, of course, to the nonsense last week. If you took this lie, a troll, so effectively a lie, yeah, and none of you did, I'm sure, sensible people, bright people, you watch this show, you know where it's at. If you took this lie as a rumor without a basic check to see that it was a lie, so I talked about, you know, journalists, paid journalists, play tech bloggers, write one thing about a company and then they've forgotten it. They've completely forgotten it the next day. Some story comes along. Bad news about people, bad news about corporate organizations makes great news because it travels fast. People love it for some reason. So if you took that lie as a rumor without a basic simple check to see that it was a lie because you were so eager to jump on what appeared to be bad news because you knew bad news gets you clicks, it travels fast. And as a paid journalist, you repeated this lie that you thought was a rumor. Yeah. It is the equivalent of seeing someone on the internet saying the earth is flat, not bother checking it, or even worse, as a journalist about physics or geography or geology, ignoring what you already know and writing an article about how it's rumored that the earth is flat because you want it to be true. I mean, imagine how embarrassing that would be. Yeah. A paid journalist in the subject matter that they're writing about, ignoring the facts and truth because they're so eager for something to be true that they even jump on a lie, a troll, because they want it to be true. I think if you did that, especially if you're paid for it, professional, I think we can all agree that would be embarrassing. I would be embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for you. And you'd have to put your hand up and go, I'm sorry, folks. You know what? I lowered my judgment quality. I fudged up. Yeah? Because you know what? That's exactly what you did. Not you, because you're good people. But journalists who did that, you fudged up. And you should be truly embarrassed. And equally, I would say, those that ran with articles a little bit later, who may not have run with that lie, but ran with the Google denies Stadia is closing articles, I think equally, I've seen, like, you know, MM2K, you know, praise them. I have a different view. I'm not praising people who ran articles saying Google denies Stadia is closing. Because in a way, by publishing that response, you in some way legitimize the original lie from a single person, a known troll on Facebook, that got misinterpreted as a rumor because it was retweeted by an established and openly admitting troll. It got a lie, suddenly became a rumor. So by publishing it, by publishing Google's denial, you're almost legitimizing the fact that there was this rumor, when what you should be publishing is an article about how a troll fooled the tech establishment. Yeah, that's what you should, that's where the story is. We fell for a lie. How did that happen? That is the article, not Google denies they're shutting down, because that's the equivalent of saying, you know, the old phrase, when did you stop beating your wife? You know, it's like, what? They can't win, can they? Yeah? You should have written about the troll, how a troll's tried to start a rumor, or how you all fell for, oh my God, weren't we stupid? When we looked into this, we realized we were a bit eager and we fell for a troll from some random bloke on some random Facebook page, and it grew legs, became a lie, became a rumor became repeated. And, you know, there, I don't have to, any person who studies history will know about the big lie. Yeah, you say something so outlandish and you say it enough, it becomes the truth in people's minds. And you see all the responses on all the articles from people going, ha ha, I knew they were closing. Oh my God, I thought they were closed already. They've way outnumbered anybody else. So anyone who published any stories about these, I think, either on the rumor directly or indirectly, I think deserves a visit from our favorite, well, my second favorite Asian lady, if I'm brutally honest. Yeah. Anyway, let me know what you think. It was a bit of a rant. And there ends, ladies and gentlemen, there ends your TED talk for today. I wasn't really going to go in full on that, but I just, got a bit carried away on that. How about some good news, right? Again, good news that probably won't have any legs. Good news that happened actually way back in March, but nobody really paid attention to it. Yeah. Let's think of some of the biggest Japanese publishers. Yeah. Name some in the chat. Some of the biggest Japanese publishers. They publish games on Stadia already. I am talking about Bandai Namco. And now I can't find my little thing. So, where's my Bandai Namco thing? So Bandai Namco, back in March, announced a partnership. Yes, Purple Haze, Bandai Namco. Announced a partnership with the Google Cloud. Now, let's caveat this. I'm not saying, this is not me about to say it's to do with Stadia, it's to do with immersive stream and all of that. It's not that, but it is Bandai Namco transferred all their multiplayer games into the Google Cloud. So they, whoever they were using before, I don't know, they moved and transitioned all their Japanese multiplayer games, their fighting games and all of that. So a lot of sort of, I guess, games we aren't familiar with, but, you know, because they published loads and loads of hardcore Japanese games. They published all of that to Google Cloud. So this is very much part of, if you remember, Jack Booser, who headed up part of Stadia, was moved from Stadia, got promotion to sit on the sort of the cloud board, Google Cloud, to represent selling Google Cloud and Google Cloud tools to the gaming industry. Yeah, it's all about, they sell it to retail, they sell it to medicine, all these different things. And then one big pillar of this that Jack Booser heads up is selling Google Cloud and the Google Cloud tools. So that's hosting, multi-platform tools, game development tools, immersive stream. You know, it's just one of the many tools that they offer. Anyway, so Bandai Namco in March or so, well, it's slightly before then, transferred all their multiplayer games into over to Google Cloud. And I just think it's quite interesting because it just means that there is that relationship. I'm not saying by any, and don't go running off, oh, we're going to get all of Bandai Namco, they're going to start an immersive stream channel. I don't know. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's interesting because it's about building relationships. And interesting is that they're building, this is Google building a gaming relationship with one of the biggest Japanese games publishers. And I just find that very interesting. Is this the tweet? No, that is, that's not the tweet. That is Chaka's tweet about an old coworker of hers. That's not the one I was looking for. Anyway, so it was actually at the Google for Games Developer Conference. There was a talk specifically about how Bandai Namco, from Bandai Namco, at the Google for Dames, Google for Dames. She's a dame, she's a dame. No, Google for Games Developer Conference, how they went about transferring the multiplayer games across to Google Cloud and the work that it went into. And I just found that interesting that, as I say, they're working with, where is this damn? Bear with me. I'm doing an M2K. Where's this damn thing? Oh, here it is.
Flip's sake.
Yeah. So this is old news. This is old news that got neglected. Switching clouds while live. How to migrate a live gaming service to Google Cloud. It's in Japanese.
It has English subtitles, so I'm all right.
But this was all, as I say, a 14-minute talk all about how the people who run the Bandai Namco servers and the multiplayer games, how they went about migrating a live gaming service. So this is their live gaming services, their live games, while they were live, effectively, to Google Cloud. But I just thought it was really interesting that Google have made inroads into the Japanese hardcore gaming publishers, you know, because in Japan, it's all about earning respect, earning that reputation. And so things like this are a stepping stone. When I was a lad, no, seriously, when I was doing game industry business stuff in Japan, one of the things that I was taught about, you know, I'd never been to Japan before at the time. And so there's the whole etiquette when you're dealing with Japanese businesses, Japanese business people and stuff, and about the whole ritual of, you know, being super polite, handing over your business card. You need to present the business card the right way and all of that. And if you want to talk to somebody, yeah, you need to go through different layers and earn the respect. And then they go, okay, I'll see, you know, you can then talk to, you know, Mr. Miyagi-san or whoever it is, you know, and then you go up the levels. It's not like the American way where you just pick up a phone and you go, hey, Joe, let's do breakfast. Okay, I'd love to do breakfast, Joe. Okay, I'll see you. Bye, bye. You know, no, you've got to kind of, it's much more incremental and slower. You've got to build that reputation, show respect, be polite, get in there. And so in a way, what I find interesting, if we use that analogy, is that Google, a very Western company, yeah, ultimately, you know, all non-Japanese companies are effectively Western companies, when you think about it, to Japan, are getting in there, earning the respect with a big publisher like Bandai Namco. And that respect and news will travel. So I just, as I say, this is not me going here. We're going to see that all of Bandai Namco's games. We have some Bandai Namco games. Thank you very much on Stadia, and it's very much appreciated. But should... If Stadia ever gets round to launching in Japan, it is relationships like this with Bandai Namco that will help them and give them credibility in the Japanese marketplace if they ever expand to Japan. This is the kind of, this is the stuff. You don't get this stuff on other shows, ladies and gentlemen. This is the stuff. That's what I'm talking about, yeah? Anyway, there you go. I thought I'd just finish off that. Right. Chat time, I think, ladies and gentlemen. Chat time. Let me just refresh my chat. I hope you found that interesting. Wow, I've got a bit of lectures there. This is the stuff I love, though. This is the stuff, I love exploring this stuff. I mean, obviously, you know, we find everybody on, you know, I get most of my news from Twitter and stuff like that, like everybody else does. And we all like, you know, and you'll get stuff on the wonderful StadiaDosage.com and you know, Stadia Source and stuff like that. And, you know, Brian will pop up with stuff and things like that. And everybody sharing tweets. And I get sent tweets by people, you know, who kind of watch the show, and I really appreciate that. Have you seen this? Have you seen that? But then I love going off and researching it. That's what I really, you know, like doing. I like to delve down a bit. You know, there's some rumors about another game that might be coming, and it turns out it wasn't. But I went straight to the developer, straight to the publisher, to see if I could find any clues, because I didn't want to put it in the news unless, because it seemed like it was a mistake. As it turned out, it was a mistake. So I'm glad I didn't put it in the news. But it's stuff like that. I love doing the kind of research and getting in there. Anyway, chat time. I'm just going to swap between that and that. And hopefully, okay, for some reason, the chat's not popping up. Never mind. We will go through it anyway. Ron Slusher. Mr. Bayram, so on the subjects of the day, Mr. Bayram plays, feels that the end goal is to have all the games have a playable trial. I think there'll be some that just don't or can't. I can't imagine Take Two. Have there been any Take Two? You know, they're like, I can't be bothered. You know, there's going to be some publisher like, I can't be bothered. Yeah, but all you got to do is tell us. No, I can't even be bothered to do that. I get Take Two, I imagine. Are there any Take Two games in the free trials? But imagine like a little go of Red Dead Redemption. 30 minutes of that, an hour, you know. So, but I can see most of them. I mean, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? This is what you can do, you know. You can't do this really effectively on this scale. And this, even like with digital products, because there's the whole, then the whole, I was going to say fag. I don't mean that in an American way, so please don't be offended. I mean, in an English way, a fag is basically, oh, can't be bothered. Yeah, just before everybody tries to cancel me. It's a kind of can't be bothered expression, right? Oh, can't be bothered to download that game. So even if you have free trials, but if you have to download them, it's a barrier, isn't it? A barrier. Whereas a link to play is not a barrier. Beyond Good and Evil. I love Beyond Good and Evil. Yeah, you go around taking photographs of the strange fauna and flora, and there's a whole adventure story. With funny name, the pig character, completely different art style in the cinematic trailer I showed you. I mean, that looked like it was a full-on CGI movie, even from 2018. The graphics are looking pretty impressive from that. Definitely not in-game graphics, as I'm going to tell you. Yeah, they got speed up, no question about it. Calico, yeah. I do have a problem with the Calico's camera. I think they need to do some work on the blocking off. You've got to get that balance between seeing inside a building and your sort of camera getting stuck behind the wall. I kind of get that a bit. I don't know whether anybody who's played it get the same thing. You know, if you're swinging the camera around too much, you can get sort of, you're inside, but then there's a wall in front of you. I think that needs to sort of be done a bit better, but it's a lovely, cute game. I just love the random songs going on in the background. I have the game on Luna. I haven't tried it. I mean, Good and Evil. Is it on Luna? Beyond Good and Evil. I did not know that. Interesting. Yay! The haze is in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Purple haze. Lovely to see you, Mom. Everybody, look, everybody. Loving seeing the purple. Yeah. I'm happy to be here. Hey, we're happy to have you here, Purple. 52 games, 52 weeks per year, one game per week to beat. Crazy. Crazy. I feel as if companies make those movies when they want to increase value of their share. Yes. Yes. Interesting. That's an interesting point, Chat Stadia. You're right. Back in the, back in the day at E3, I used to always remember the World of Warcraft. They always had an amazing cinematic. And it became like an event at E3. So you used to be inside E3 and on the giant screens, they'd be showing the World of Warcraft cinematic for the next, you know, and they were always like blow your mind CGI kind of cinematic trailer for the next World of Warcraft game, whatever it was. And it became a highlight. But I think you're right. I think they're trying to pump up, in some cases, things like that. Those big overblown. I mean, that is a massive cinematic. That Beyond Good and Evil 2 for a game that's, you know, not even, wouldn't even been due, even if they were on target back then, wouldn't have been available another 3 years. But there you go. Hey, Ninja Guy X, good to see you, sir. Too bad. 313. It is only one. Yeah, that's the thing. That's why I think, you know, Carson Kelly, that's why I sort of. I used to kind of, you know, do that. You know, well, if you ever watch Lord Kenzel's sort of streams, they're kind of, or even the beginning, you know, the beginning of this show is like, I even don't know what it's called, a Clive Illenden production presents. You know, it's sort of, I love it. It's like quite a bit of fun, isn't it, to do that? To sort of announce yourself in that kind of third person as though you're some sort of corporate entity. I find it quite, you know, it's a bit tongue in cheek as well for me. But yeah, I think sort of Carson Kelly is a bit like that as well. Like, I think he quite likes that. He likes presenting himself at, even though he's sort of one dude, you know, he's a company. And I guess if you take yourself seriously as a company, other people will take your company seriously. Yeah, if you sort of portray it in that kind of corporate way. So I understand what he's doing, and I think it's quite cool. But yeah, it is just one guy at the end of the day. A bit like Wizard of Oz. Don't look behind the curtain. It's already outdated. Oh my God. Madman. Looking forward to week 2 recap. Oh yes, of course. Don't forget, let me just call up the community, the cloud community. I'm going to do like a 4 Scars here. John Scars here. Oh, no, I've got it up here. Cloud Gaming Championship week 3 challenge is up. Let's do that. And it's a creator, which is, I think, is awesome. Let's quickly do that before we go back to chat. Cloud Gaming Championship week 3 challenge. Shout out to the organizers. They do an incredible, incredible job here. The second challenge is baked. No, it's the third challenge. I was about to say they're doing an incredible job, and it looks like, look, they put the second challenge. Don't you mean the third challenge? It's the Crater Ninja Warrior minigame in Crater, made by legendary Crater game creator Ekelrock. It's the first time we've used a Crater minigame in a competition, which I think is an amazing idea. What a wonderful idea. Crater Ninja Warrior is marked with the following characteristic: parkour, race, difficulty, fast-paced, solo-friendly. The rules, simple. Your goal is to complete the Crater Ninja Warrior parkour course as fast as possible. Best time wins. Nice and simple. So if you're up for it, a bit of speed running, the Crater Ninja Warrior. Yeah, Ninja Guy X is up for it, I'm sure. Yeah, then get yourself over there. Get yourself, go to stadiadosage.com if you've not already registered for the competition. There's still time. There's prizes to be won and all of that. But yeah, week 3 is Creator Ninja Warrior game. Best time wins. Simple as that. Love it. So thank you, Ninja Guy X, for reminding me about that. If only those demos were available on Google. Yes, Scooterama, that is a very good point. I think probably it's because the user interface on the TV apps is so limited, isn't it? Just scroll across. And I don't know, again, I'm not technical. I don't know whether that's because of the size of the memory that they've got to operate within limits that. But yeah, I mean, you know, we've been saying for years they need to update the UI on the TV and the Chromecast with Google TV look and Android and Google TV, Android TV, Stadia app and all of that, the LG TV app, Samsung Gaming Hub app. Definitely need free demos on that. Yeah. So actually my theory earlier falls flat on that bit. 3 hours to plow and plant a field. Get in there. Clive is also saying, every game is coming to Trials of Stadia before you jumped in, I believe. Yeah. I think we'll get there. It makes sense. It's a no-brainer. Surely, if you're a publisher, a developer, why wouldn't it's a no-brainer? Yeah. And then it doesn't cost you anything to tweet out, really, does it? Yeah. Why don't you give my game a go? Especially new games. Hey, you can try it for free, you know, 30 minutes. Buy, you know, try before you buy. Absolutely. Chip paper. Yeah. Exactly. Fish and chip paper. Wrap up your fish and chips. On a Friday night, pop down a chippy, get some fish and chips. And they used to do it so beautifully wrapped. Well, like not, I don't mean on Japanese standard beautiful wrapping, but I also was impressed as a kid. And they used to wrap the nice and snug. You used to walk out and sort of almost like a sort of a satchel of chips under your arm or something. Yeah. Anyway, there you go. Yeah, I can't believe it's still going. I look back at the last announcements of Beyond Good and Evil before that Tom Henderson tweet on their news site, on the official news site, and it was 2020 and they were talking about PlayStation 4 and stuff like that. So, like, that's well out of date. They've not updated. I think this is, the playtesting is people who already sort of part of the Monkey Space program. I think that's what it's called. And that would have been back in 2020 when you could join the Monkey Space program. Is he on drugs talking about Monkey Space program? No, that's what it was called, I'm sure. It is a good soundtrack. And you know, yeah. Have you played your soundtrack? Maybe play Beyond Good and Evil soundtrack on your radio show. The 100 game mentality. It is a bit, yeah. Yeah. That's the word for them. Consigner, I'm coming at you. They didn't fall for a lie. They just publish it because it's part of their narrative. It's popular to state. Well, that's what I'm saying. You're right, Jinx. They didn't fall for it. Well, they sort of fell for it. What I mean by they fell for it, and maybe it's a nuance here, is that they went for it because it's a part of the narrative, because the narrative being, you know, bad news about gossip about people, bad news gossip, and gossip about corporate organizations is what sells and gets you clicks and sells papers. This is not me just saying it. The studies have been done this. Theses have been written about this. So they published it because it fitted their narrative. And they were so eager for it to be true that they didn't check it and realize it was a lie. And in their mind, it was a rumor. So they fell for it in that way because of their eagerness of it fitting a narrative that sells, a negative narrative that a corporate organization is dying of some sort. As long as you say the word rumor, say struggle boxing. Yeah, we can say whatever we want. But like I said last week, didn't I? I was like prophetic. More like pathetic. Shut up. I was prophetic last week, wasn't I? I said, and I tweeted it out actually, but on last week's show, I said how people print stuff that with no consequence, stuff that turns out wrong, or they say stuff that turns out wrong without any consequence, and they never go back and correct themselves, or very rarely, or unless they are forced to by law, and then it's quietly tucked away somewhere, so they've met their obligation out of law. There have been some cases, newspaper cases in this country, where part of the settlement of the case is not just money, but that the apology has to be on the front page or in a high profile place, position in the newspaper. And that's the sort of negotiation that goes on, not just the monetary negotiation, you know, the compensation, but the position of the apology. That's how important, because they know the Daily Mail, the Sun, whatever tabloid paper, will just tuck it away on page 10. We incorrectly said such and such, such and such. Nobody reads it. Nobody cares, but they've met their obligation. Job done. So people say stuff, and especially, you know, amateur, like myself, you know, amateur, what I would call amateur vlog jockeys. Yeah, that's what we are. Amateur vlog jockeys. Like, you know, wannabe football commentators sit here, spout all this stuff. But when you're wrong, say you're wrong, put your hand up. Yeah. Like, I've readjusted my expectation. I'm not sure we will get 70 games in the Stadia Pro library. I was just looking at the data and the trend was up, up, up. But now the trend seems to be leveling off a bit. And so I'm thinking maybe there's a finite amount of money in the pot for now, while the subscriber base is where it's at. When the subscriber base grows, so the pot grows. So that's what I'm thinking, you know? So that's adjusting it, you know? It's not moving the goalposts or anything like that. It's admitting that maybe it needs a revisit given the new data that we have. And that's legit. Hey, Sooner Live, how are you? But, you know, if you say, like, outrageous things that turn out wrong, I have a low threshold for credibility, for other people's credibility. If you break it with me, I'm like, what? Slap, slap. Yeah, Asian lady. She had to come out. She had to come out today, didn't she? Look. Yeah. So many people deserve that. I mean, I was embarrassed. I deleted so many tweets because in a way getting involved in it legitimizes it. You know, I saw tweets going, people going, oh, I'm glad they're not closing. And it's like, even that frustrated me. Like, why would you think they were closing? Are you that gullible? Like, why are you even saying a lovely statement? Even like a nice statement like that wound me up. It was crazy. I was getting so worked up. And I just deleted so many tweets before sending them because I just thought, no, I just have to walk away. It was so frustrating. It was so frustrating. It was bad news travels fast. Inaction. Inaction. Capcom. Good guess. You got it, though. First time. Yeah, it was Bandai. No, we didn't see the first one, Jinx. We didn't see the first one. I'd love to see the Atlus game on Stadia. Goated. Bandai Namco is the goat. Atlus, I'm unfamiliar. Ninja knows every game. Jesus. Hey, Suarez. Don't apologize, sir. You can listen on the podcast. Indeed, you can. You asked me and I reminded me that I used to do it. And then I found a way that I can do it really quickly. Suits me, suits you, and all of that. Outside of Nintendo, console sales have been abysmal in Japan, with PS4 only moving a little over 7 million last gen, which is extremely low. Yeah, most of Japan gaming revenue comes from mobile gaming now.
A Carson Kelly presents a Carson Kelly game by Carson Kelly. Carson Kelly's Talking Dogs.
We're only having a Josh Carson Kelly. We are, many of us are, because I know you watch the show, because you showed your appreciation when I shouted you out. And we're looking forward. We love the fact that you support Stadia. And we're looking forward to Talking Dogs. And now, Talking Dogs 2. Oldest daughter woke the youngest daughter up. Nightmare. You can catch up, Pedder. It's okay. I can't wait for tell us about it sooner. The TV UI definitely needs updating. I don't know. Again, I'm not super technical, but it must be to do with the memory space or something like that. And then they're going to have to make it work across now. Used to be just make it work, you know, for the Chromecast, for Google TV effectively. But now make it, you know, they have to work with LG to update that one, work with Samsung to update that one. But yeah, land of the nod. Is Saints Row the Third remastered as close as Stadia will get to a GTA title? Is there an online version to play with other players? Well, I think you can play Saints Row, the new one, with other players, I believe. So that, and that has also probably slightly, as I understand it, it's still got the kind of outrageous humor and stuff like that, but it's slightly more, I want to say based in realism, but it's not. But it's probably more GTA-like. Yeah, but with the big crazy explosions and silliness going on, but not quite as silly as some of the other Saints Row have got. So I think it's going back to some of the original stuff where they just said, let's take GTA and turn it up to 11. Hey, Ninja did play the soundtrack Beyond Good and Evil on the show. It's coming back to me now. I can't remember the music, but I just seem now to remember it did have a good soundtrack. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Baron Plays, for just saying that. Indeed. Yeah, anybody can be the sun these days. Exactly. It's interesting, Pedder, knowing that you are a football man. I've been listening a lot recently. I don't know why. I never used to, but to sort of talk sport. It's on YouTube. It's on YouTube, and I've been sort of seeing a lot of analogy in that kind of. We've got a caller here ringing in about, you know, Liverpool's performance, or, you know, Nunez. You know, I talked about Nunez, a new striker for Liverpool. You know, and he joins the club. He's had about a week of training. They play a friendly. He misses a couple of shots. And everyone else, non-Liverpool supporters going, ha ha, and doing montages and clips of him, you know, mishitting the ball, whatever. One friendly match after a week of training, new to the team. Next match, he comes on for the second half, only 40 minutes, not even 45 minutes, I think, and he comes on for about 40 minutes, scores four goals. Yeah. Gets a goal at the, you know, community shield at the weekend against Man City when their big striker doesn't. You know, it was sort of deemed the battle of the strikers. So it's just like everybody's an expert, like on one thing. They know, paint a whole narrative on one thing. They don't look at the bigger picture, to use a football analogy. You know, they, and but so what you see on these talk shows, and in America as well, they probably have talk sports shows, you know, sports jocks. Everybody's an expert, aren't they? And they're just looking for the story. And the way that they ask the questions are such leading questions. You know, they want the person to say something controversial. So they ask with a leading question so they can say, are you saying that? And the person's thinking, no, I never said that. Are you saying that? Is that what you're trying to say? You know, but, and it's the same with gaming and the gaming blogs and podcasts and stuff like that. That's why I mentioned, weeks ago I mentioned I want to do a proper podcast style show, which is me being less energetic and crazy and more of a gentle chat, like a podcast, you know, stripping it back. But I just need, it's finding the right person to do it. And there's sort of a tick box of criteria of things if I'm going to do it. But it's just to sort of, again, it will be much more low key, less in your face than I am, you know, doing this show. It's all about energy and all that kind of stuff. Just to have a more in-depth, like a proper podcast should be, an in-depth chat rather than headline baiting and all of that kind of stuff. Hey, Jay, how are you? Hello, sir. Ninja Guy is excited for talking dogs. I thought you were a cat man, Ninja. Yeah? Are you a cat and a dog man? In the Calico, you have to go and find somebody's cat. I didn't play it long. You probably have to find loads of people's cats. And I thought I'd found it. I picked it up and it started barking. And I thought, why is it barking? It was a talking dog. No, it was a dog. But I don't know. It didn't look like a dog to me. It looked like a cat. Maybe I didn't have my glasses on properly. I was about to take it back to the cat lady who was looking for a cat. Like, take back a dog and go, is this your cat? Would have felt right. Silly Billy. A bit of player help, he'll settle in. Exactly. Darwin Nunez is going to be great. I see a lot of potential for him. He's going to be lethal in the air. Yeah, exactly. Just new. It takes time to bed in, but like, people make snap decisions because it fits a narrative they want to happen, yeah? That whole toxicity thing, you know? Oh, look at him. They just spent 85 million quid on him. You know, like basically $100 million on him. And he mishit the ball, like, after a week of training or whatever. Like, Anyway, the best way you can answer that is then put four goals in your next match in 45 minutes. Anyway, barking cats. Exactly. I was confused. It looked like a it looked like a cat to me. Oh, I missed the Beyond Good and Evil 2 conversation. Okay. Quickly for you. This journalist here, Tom Henderson, 190,000 followers, legit freelance video games journalist, has said, now that Beyond Good and Evil 2 has started playtesting, so this is a game that was announced in 2017 at E3, announced again at 2018 E3, then we never heard any more about it really up to about 2020. A bit like Skull and Bones had the same life cycle. It sort of seemed to get lost. Anyway, it turns out they've started playtesting on it. It's very much alive. In the Ubisoft earnings call earlier, a few weeks ago, they did announce that another game, a sort of AAA-ish game, which this could be it, had also moved into 2023. I'm wondering whether it is this unannounced game. It was an unannounced game, whether it is this that they were referring to. I'm not sure. But that's the story. Beyond Good and Evil 2, that I thought was long gone, dead in development hell, a piece of, you know, fluff that never got off the ground, was dead, but it's not. It's very much alive. Good news story, ladies and gentlemen. according to Tom Henderson here. I'm not sure what sort more sources that he has. I've tried to do a bit of research, but they haven't updated their own website. And as I say, I think the testing is available for those that had signed up for testing in 2020. Inner circle there, but he's saying very much alive. And since it's an Ubisoft game, you can bet your bottom dollar. Yeah. You can bet your bottom dollar. If it does get published, it'll come to Stadia. All right, Caseball. Newcastle will be a team to watch this season when they spend another $150 million before the end of the transfer window. It's suddenly turning into a football podcast. Stop it. Hey, Starker's guy, I just subscribed. I reckon BG&E look almost completely different than it did 4 years ago. Oh, yeah, they've gone for that kind of... Yeah, it had that lovely sort of slight cartoony style. Definitely that kind of PlayStation 3, I want to say. Look, Xbox 360 style. Slightly cartoony. And they've gone for a much more... Because I remember the trailer, the Beyond Good and Evil trailer 2017 one. Like, there was a lot of swearing in it. I'm not going, oh, dear, a lot of swearing in it. You know, it's just very different, more sort of realistic take on it, much more gritty, hardcore, stuff like that. Yeah, we are getting excited for FIFA. Now you mention it. Can't wait to play as Nunes, yeah? Put Nunes in the team there. Well, it is the Stadium Monday Night Chat, right? Football has stadiums close enough. Exactly. Can't wait for FIFA and all of that. Yeah, neither can I. It's going to be good. Right, well, since we've sort of turned, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, hype. Maybe we just have a FIFA. I don't know enough about FIFA. I love playing FIFA. My son knows more about FIFA, how it all works. He watches all the FIFA YouTubers who just, you know, hardly play games. They just open packs and stuff like that. So, maybe I'd love to have a show that just dedicated to FIFA, but if I just knew enough, maybe I get my son to teach me. My son and I completed both RE7 and Village over the weekend. They both run awesome on Stadia. Any news on Reverse? No, it's still I think around about end of October, isn't it? October the 31st, Halloween, something like that they're going for. That's what I think anyway. Hey, Jeremy, how are you? Good to see you, sir. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I hope I covered off most of the stuff. Yeah, let's see if anybody picks up on the Beyond Good and Evil stuff. I've not seen anybody else talk about it. And it's certainly, as rumours go, I think has more legitimacy than some other game rumours that we touch on. So I'm surprised that no one else is talking on it. And if they do, you are welcome, ladies and gentlemen. As ever, you are welcome. There we go. The swearing didn't fit well. That was it. Yeah, but apparently a style they wanted to go for originally, but was worried the audience would think. Yeah, I think you're right, Stark. I remember there was some controversy around it back in the day because of the swearing. It just seemed to... It was such a cute, gentle, lovely game, the original one. Very accessible. It was like not aggressive in that way, and it just felt like a very inclusive game. That seemed to be like a gear change. 28th Reverse, same day as the Village. That's what I thought. End of October. Thank you, Mr. Bayron Plays. Is the Village DLC free? Some of it is the Robin stuff. I'm not sure is free, but I think the rest of the stuff is. I haven't checked for a while, but check Capcom's site for that. Well, Pedder, that's what I'm saying. No, it's around £16. Thank you, Mr. Bayron Play. At least some people are paying attention. God, I get angry when I watch podcasts and people go, what is that thing? What is that thing they don't know? And here you are, you're showing me up, sir. I hadn't done my research on that particular thing. I didn't have it in my head. Anyway, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. I really appreciate you coming, watching the show, putting up with my rants, my TED lectures and all of that. I hope you felt informed. I hope you felt educated. I hope you felt entertained. Yeah. All three in a beautiful, warm, cozy mix, like a beautiful cocktail. And all of that. Why don't we try to recreate all of this? Yeah. All this wonderfulness and learn more stuff. Never stop learning. Yeah. Same time, same place next week. You lot have been wonderful as ever. Thank you and goodbye.